Live Creative Now, Episode 65.
Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hello, I am Melissa Dinwiddie, passion pluralite artist, happiness catalyst, and creativity instigator, here to address all your questions about living a full-color creative life. Whether you think of yourself as not creative, or you think of yourself as an artist of any kind, visual, written, musical, whatever, or anything in between, no matter how you define yourself, feeding your creative hungers makes you feel more alive. And it's how you change the world. It starts by changing yourself. And when you change yourself, that ripples out and everything you touch changes as well. My last episode, episode 64, was a listener question episode. And today I have another listener question episode. My favorite ways to get listener questions is as a voicemail message at livecreativenow.com/questions and also in 5-star iTunes reviews. But I learned recently that iTunes only shows me reviews from US-based iTunes users. So if you live in any other country and you leave me a review, I won't ever see it. Or the question inside of it, if you left a question, unless you let me know some other way that you left me a review with a question in it, and you let me know which country you're in, because I actually have to dive into that particular country inside of iTunes in order to find it. So the best way to let me know is to leave your review on iTunes, including your question, and then go to livecreativenow.com/questions and also record your question in a free voicemail, letting me know which country you're calling from. Or if for some reason you don't want your voice on the podcast, which is totally fine, then of course you can always email me instead. You can go to livecreativenow.com/contact. All right. Now that that is out of the way, and I really do hope that you submit questions for me to answer, because that's one of my favorite things to do on the podcast, let's get on with today's question from Maria, who left the following in a 5-star iTunes review. Thank you, Maria. It starts with her review. Maria writes, Melissa is my favorite because she is very not lectury, and her podcasts are so easy and fun to listen to. I thought I was creative, but after listening to Melissa, I felt like she was the honest voice in my heart, the voice that talks about all the things I've been afraid to face. I didn't even know there were other people out there caring too much to create. Wow. I'm excited to hear more. I love Melissa. All caps, 3 exclamation points. Thank you, Maria. That totally made my day. And she continues, Melissa, if you're reading this, could you please talk about how to get permission to make crap when my parents slash people are constantly watching to see if I can make a living as an artist. I feel like I'm not allowed to make crap because crap won't sell, and I'll get lots of, I told you so. So right now I feel frozen and can't make anything. Any advice? And by the way, I have seen your Instagram feed, Maria. She's at Maria Waye, W-A-Y-E. And your art is amazing, incredible, and that makes me so sad that you are feeling frozen and unable to make anything. Do I have advice? Well, as you know, as a podcast listener, I could talk for hours about just about anything. And I have several things that I want to say about your question. The first thing I want to say is that the only person who can give you permission to make crap is you. And you have to take that permission. You have to own your entitlement to creative play. Now, I'm not saying that this is easy. It's not. At least it wasn't for me. It has been an ongoing practice in my life. Here's how it works. You set the intention that there is no wrong when you're playing in the creative sandbox, the space that you, the mindset, the mental, physical time space that you set up in order to play, in order to let yourself make crap. You set the intention that there is no wrong. That's creative sandbox manifesto rule number one. And you set the intention to think process, not product, which is creative sandbox manifesto rule number two. And then you make something. Maybe you make something intentionally bad, intentionally ugly, whatever. You make something. And whatever you make, then you apply my golden formula, which is self-awareness plus self-compassion equals the key to everything good. Self-awareness, that means noticing. How does it feel when you create in this way, in the creative sandbox, with the intention that there is no wrong, with the intention to think process, not product? What feelings are coming up? And then, regardless of the feelings, whatever they are, you respond with self-compassion. So what is self-compassion anyway? Well, Dr. Kristen Neff, who is the author of Self-Compassion, The Proven Power of Being Kind to Yourself, and she's also the world's foremost researcher on self-compassion, she has found three components to self-compassion. It consists of, one, mindfulness. That is the ability to be in present time, the ability to observe in a non-judgy way your surroundings, your sensations, your reactions, all of that, to be able to observe all of that without being swept away by any of it. So that's the first component. The second component of self-compassion is common humanity, an understanding that you are human, and forgiving yourself for being human, and understanding that you are not the only person who has ever experienced this kind of suffering, whatever you're experiencing right now. You're not the only person. It's not a pathology. It's part of being human. And the third component of self-compassion is self-kindness. And that is responding gently and kindly to yourself, the way that you would to a beloved friend or a child. Responding gently and kindly and lovingly to yourself. When you practice allowing yourself to make crap, when you practice playing in the creative sandbox, some of the feelings that might come up for you are disgust. Oh my God, that is so awful. I'm just disgusted with myself. Frustration. I'm never going to make anything worthy. Guilt. Or actually false guilt, which would be something like, how can I possibly let myself create this drivel when I've trained for years to create, you know, whatever you're creating? And actually see episode 64 or listen to episode 64 for more on the subject of false guilt, because that sense of guilt that you're feeling, it's not real. You're not actually harming anybody by giving yourself creative sandbox time and allowing yourself to make crap. You're not culpable in a crime. You are not harming anybody. So it's false guilt. But that sensation of guilt is still there. Another feeling that might come up is shame. Oh, I'm a terrible person. Or fear. Ah, nobody's ever going to like me or accept me because of this crappy piece I'm making, whatever. Guess what? All of those feelings that I just shared, that sounds like a lot of gremlins talking. Maybe other feelings come up too, or instead of those that I just brought up. It doesn't matter. Whatever feelings come up, whatever gremlins start yammering at you, do not let them stop you. This is critical. Remember, gremlins exist to keep you safely inside your comfort zone. And guess what? Letting yourself make crap is, for most of us, well outside of our comfort zone. But the only way to discover what you're capable of, the only way to express your full potential as a creator, is to let yourself make crap. So practice that. Practice setting the intention, noticing how it feels, responding with self-compassion, and not letting the gremlins stop you. Even if what you create seems god-awful to you, never take direction from your gremlins. And remember, we need the crap to fertilize the good stuff. Now, in a lot of creative fields, photography and songwriting come up very quickly to mind. It's not unusual to expect that 90% of what you create is going to be crap. Photographers take a hell of a lot of pictures in order to get one awesome photo, right? Songwriters write a lot of crappy song ideas, crappy lyrics, crappy songs in order to get a fabulous song. Maybe only 10% is going to be gold. And this is okay. This is perfectly normal. My God, believe me, I write a lot of crappy stuff to get to a blog post that feels good enough to publish. And if I let my fear of creating crap stop me, I would never write a darn thing. I would never paint or draw a darn thing. I would never sing a darn thing. And in fact, that is exactly what happened to me back in 1994, when for a very brief time, I decided I was going to be a writer. Now, you know me now as a writer because I write all the time on my blog and other people's blogs. But back in 1994, I decided that I was going to be a professional, full-time, write-for-a-living writer. And my expectations were really, really high. I had this expectation that everything I wrote had to prove that I was worthy of being paid, was, you know, that my writing was awesome and amazing. That's a lot of pressure. And nothing I created felt any good at all. It all felt like crap. Every single word I wrote felt like total crap. And back then, I did not give myself permission to create crap. So guess what? I created nothing. Zip, zero, nada, for 16 years. So Maria, is that really what you want? Do you really want to follow in my footsteps and not create anything for 16 years? I don't think so. So that's the first thing I want to say, Maria. The second thing I want to share is a lesson from an improv teacher of mine, Joshua Raul Brody, who teaches musical improv in and around San Francisco through BATS Improv, B-A-T-S Improv. And what he's teaching is really how to make up songs on the fly, on stage, in front of an audience. Now, a lot of improvisers who take his classes feel really insecure about their voices because guess what? They're just like the general population. Maybe their whole lives they've been told they can't sing, right? So Joshua says, if somebody doesn't like the way you sing, don't sing for them. Maria, if your parents or anybody else's disapproval is paralyzing you, stop showing your work to them, period. So that's the second thing. The third thing I want to say is in regards to your statement, I feel like I'm not allowed to make crap because crap won't sell and I'll get a lot of, I told you so. I have 2 points to make about this statement. First, we allow ourselves to make crap in order to free ourselves up, to open the channel to our richest, deepest, most authentic creativity. Allowing yourself to make crap is the only way you access your best stuff. Also, if we never let ourselves make anything bad, guess what? We never start. We never learn what needs improving. We never discover new ideas to follow because we just don't start. The crap that we create in our creative sandbox sessions is not trash. It's manure. We need the crap to fertilize the good stuff. Now, if you feel that everything you make has to be for sale, and I understand that feeling because I lived there for over a decade, that is a very fast route to two bad places. Either perfectionist paralysis, if you choke up, which is what I did with writing back in 1994, or burnout. That happens if you create, but all you're doing is just repeating what you've already done ad nauseum. You must give yourself sacred creative sandbox time where you create purely for the joy of it, not for money. This is critical. I know not everybody listening is even interested in making money from your creative efforts, but if you are, it is critical, absolutely critical that you make sure to dedicate, commit to creative sandbox time in your week, ideally every day. You have to do that. Otherwise, you will burn out. So when you're in the creative sandbox and you find yourself thinking, oh my God, what am I doing? This is never going to sell. Why am I wasting my time on this? Remind yourself that this is creative sandbox time, that it's not about making money. It's about freeing up your creativity and feeling more alive and fertilizing the good stuff. If you let yourself do that, that will eventually lead to creating stuff that will bring in the money. Now, having said all that, the second point that I have about your statement that crap won't sell is that this is a really big assumption. You don't actually know whether it will sell or not. And though your focus when you're in the creative sandbox must be on play and freedom and joy and process and feeling alive, it absolutely cannot be on will this make money. What emerges out of your time in the creative sandbox may end up surprising you in its sellability. But unless you give yourself creative sandbox time to not think about money at all, you will never know. Now, I have a practice of sharing what comes out of my creative sandbox playtime, whether I'm pleased with it or not, whether I'm disgusted with it. I share the process, regardless of how I feel about the outcome, about the product. And more than once, I have posted a painting to Instagram, which feeds out to Facebook, and I have thought to myself, oh my God, that is a piece of crap. I really didn't want to post that. I'm embarrassed by it. It's awful. I'm going to gesso over that painting tomorrow because it's terrible. And that, more than once, I have thought that only to have someone ask to buy that very painting. Yeah, one person's crap is another person's treasure. Now, this is one of the reasons why I'm such a big believer in sharing your work before you feel ready. And I have a previous podcast episode number 3, actually, way back when, all about 6 reasons why you should share your work before you feel ready. So check that out, episode number 3, livecreativenow.com/003. Here's the thing. Our perceptions about our work are totally distorted by the gremlin glasses we're wearing. We only see what we don't like about what we create, where it falls short of the vision. But other people don't see that. They don't have an image, the image that we have in our head of this is what I was trying to go for. And they're not comparing what they see in front of them with the perfect ideal image that lives in our own head, right? Other people see your work for what it is. You see your work for what it isn't. You only see the lack. When I started sharing my in-process work on social media just a couple years ago, it really changed my life because it helped me see my work, my painting and drawing, my writing, my music. It helped me see it through the lenses of other people's glasses instead of my gremlin glasses. It helped me take off my gremlin glasses and put on neutral glasses for a while. And that was so profoundly helpful. It helped me have more appreciation and compassion for my work and compassion for myself as the imperfect creator, aiming and failing to achieve, aiming for this, you know, ideal platonic vision and falling short all the time, right? I had a lot more compassion for myself because I was able to see my work through other people's glasses. And the only reason that that happened was because I shared my work and I got to see other people's responses to that work. Now, in order for me to see through other people's glasses, I had to unhook myself from the need for other people's approval and praise. There's a really big difference between putting something out there with the energy of, do you like this? Is it okay? Is it good enough? Between that energy and the energy of sharing, of truly sharing with an open heart and an open mind, unattached from the outcome, like giving a gift to the world, not, oh, I'm going to show you this thing. Is it okay? Is it good enough? Is it good enough? But here it is. Boom. One of my heroes, Patty Dye, who's a best-selling author and the creator, as an aside, the creator of Life is a Verb Camp, which you should totally come to. It is amazing. And I'm actually going to be one of the speakers there this year, but you should come anyway, because it is one of the most amazing things I do in the year. You can find that at lifeisaverbcamp.com. So that's just a little aside. Patty Dye, I brought her up because she talks a lot about the concept of making a strong offer. Now, this is a concept from the world of improv, which I've been very involved in for the past few years. And in the world of improv, an offer is anything that you do or say that fills in a piece of the world or the situation that you're creating in a scene. So, for example, I might hold my hands together, palms up, and look down at them and say, oh, Jim, honey, it's the most beautiful necklace I've ever seen. Thank you. What an incredible anniversary gift. So that, in the context of an improv scene, would be an offer. That's an offer. And that offer contains a lot of information from my partner. He now knows that his name is Jim. He knows that he just gave me a necklace. And he knows that we are clearly a couple celebrating an anniversary. But what happens next, what my partner does with that offer, that's out of my control. So I may have it in my head that we're a married couple, we're celebrating our first anniversary at a restaurant on the beach in Kona, Hawaii. But my partner may respond with something that totally negates my idea. He may say, well, Sally, I know it's been 10 years since we first cheated on our spouses together, and you've been wanting me to leave my wife ever since. So the least I could do to show you how much I love you is to buy you some expensive jewelry and take you on this African safari. So clearly the scene that he has now set us in with his offer is different from the one that I had in my head. And if I hold on to my idea that we're a married couple celebrating our first anniversary in Hawaii after his offer, then the scene goes nowhere. In fact, it would implode pretty quickly, right? Because we would not be in agreement about who we are and what's happening, where we are. So in order for improv to work, each improviser has to make an offer and then let go of the outcome. You have to be open to accepting whatever comes next and rolling from there. And putting creative work out into the world is like this. You make the offer, you post your work online, you enter that competition, you offer something for sale, you apply to teach at a conference, whatever, and then you let go. Your job is to make a strong offer. Period. The outcome is out of your hands, so practice letting go of it. Practice making offers and letting go of the outcome. So, Maria, to sum up, the upshot is you are the only one who can grant you permission, and that takes practice. And you get to practice self-compassion in that practice. If your parents or anybody else don't like your work, don't show it to them. Letting yourself play in the creative sandbox, which includes allowing yourself the freedom to create crap, that is the only way that you will ever access your richest, deepest, most original, most creative work. And it is also how we get better at anything. We need the crap to fertilize the good stuff. One person's crap is another person's treasure. So what you judge to be crap, somebody else might totally love. In fact, it might change their life, might save their life. You have no idea. Your job is to make strong offers, as Patty Dye would put it, as the world of improv would put it, and then let go of the outcome. Just make the offer. All of this is very simple, but it's not easy at all because I know, because this is the exact same journey that I've been on for the past several years. But what I can tell you is that it gets easier with practice to let go and play in the creative sandbox. The gremlin voices will come up. You will find your mind going to that, oh, but how am I ever going to make money from this? Oh, this is crap. All of those gremlin voices are going to appear. That's not a problem. Your job is to notice them, let them go. I like to send my gremlins off to get pedicures and come back to playing in the creative sandbox, to really letting yourself play. It's exactly the same process as meditation. When you notice your monkey mind bounding off, and you just notice that and then let go of the thought and come back to your breath. Same thing, same exact thing. Now, I was the poster child for perfectionist paralysis. 16 years I did not write. And before that, 15 years between, oh my gosh, now I'm going to have to think of, between ages 13 and 28, I did not make art because I thought I sucked. So I was absolutely the poster child for perfectionist paralysis, and the freedom and joy that I experience from creating now is such a gift to my life. And if I can do it, Maria, you can too. It all starts with the decision to do it. Do you want to live free from the chains of your parents' judgments and other people's judgments and expectations? If so, the only way to get there is to set the intention and practice and treat yourself with compassion. And setting the intention in practice means, guess what? Letting yourself be crappy at it at first. And all along the way, we have to allow ourselves to be crappy all along the way. The only way to unsuck is to let yourself suck first. So Maria, you can do this. I know you can do this, and I am cheering you on. That's it. That's a wrap. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope it was helpful. If it was, if you're getting value out of this podcast, I would be so grateful if you would tell your friends about it and hop on over to iTunes and leave a five-star, I hope, review. That would totally, totally make my day. Meanwhile, on Tomorrow, as of the publication date of this episode, I am hosting a free webinar, free online workshop, Born to Create, Why Your Creative Play is Essential, Not Self-Indulgent. If you find yourself having a hard time getting yourself to do the things that you really want to be doing, this webinar is for you. It will help you get past the guilt, get past the resistance, and really understand why you truly were born to create. You will learn why it is essential to give yourself playtime. A lot of similar things that I've been talking about today, but I will dive deeper into it. We will talk about the surprising truth about why you feel resistance to the thing you love to do, how to make every creative block your friend. Yes, it's true. You truly can make every creative block your friend, and I will tell you how. And we will look at the unexpected science of how creative play affects the brain. You're never going to look at it the same way again, and you will always have an unbelievable reminder in your pocket for why it is absolutely essential and important that you make space and time to do your creative thing. I hope you'll join me. It is at 11 a.m. Pacific time, Thursday, July 14th. But if you cannot join me live, go ahead and register anyway, because I will be sending the replay link out to everybody who registers. But you got to register in order to get the replay link. I will leave a link to register in the show notes, but I also have a bit.ly link. It's bit.ly/borntocreate, all one word, 7-14-16. bit.ly/borntocreate 7-14-16. There's no space in Born to Create. There's no space between Born to Create and 7. bit.ly/borntocreate 7-14-16. I really hope to see you there. So that's it. Until next time, thanks again for joining me, and go get creating. Mwah!
Live creative now. Live creative now.
Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.